Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The first pastor in America to be arrested for holding worship services. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, the very first pastor to be arrested in the United States of America for holding worship services was Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who is the pastor of the River Church at Tampa Bay in Florida.
Yeah, this happened back in March, right?
This was the last Sunday in March where he had the church services. He had a morning service, an evening service, and he was arrested on Monday around noon to 1 o'clock Eastern time in a dramatic fashion. I mean, it's unbelievable.
But yet he had met with the sheriff, and they had gotten a green light to have services because they took all these amazing precautions, purification system and social distancing and mask and all that, got the okay, and then you turn around and he gets arrested.
By the same sheriff.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's an interesting story because that relationship has been reconciled, and the sheriff has actually now attended the church to receive that public forgiveness from the pastor and the church congregation.
Wow.
It's an amazing story of reconciliation.
Only with God that can happen.
Only with God. Mm-hmm. This is the guy who actually did the press conference on Monday. And this was after the two services on Sunday, which the same sheriff, by the way, approved, as you mentioned, the previous Thursday. In addition to all that you mentioned, they also included over $100,000 of very high-grade hospital air purification systems that were installed in the church for this Sunday service. Now, the amazing thing is, in retrospect, what we now know is that the police wanted to arrest him during the Sunday night service, and the pastor had this feeling that no doubt came from the Lord that he should do that part of it remote. So another pastor was there in his ministry that actually did the Sunday evening service, while the pastor, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, was at home. The police officers came Sunday night to arrest him, to make it even more dramatic, while the service was going on. That was the intent. But when he wasn't there, they obviously made no arrest. So what they did was a dramatic arrest on Monday. And at that time, you had police cars out in front of the pastor's home. This is a misdemeanor. They charged him with two misdemeanors. He wasn't even at the Sunday night service, but he was charged with two misdemeanors.
For having church.
For having church. And it's essentially a higher grade traffic ticket kind of penalty for this. Yes, there's potential jail time for a few months, and there's fines. But it's really one of the higher grade kind of traffic tickets. For misdemeanors, you never arrest people according to the own policy of the Hillsborough County Sheriff's.
But still, he was booked, fingerprinted, photographed for a mugshot, just like he was a criminal.
Yeah, so they came to him, and as he leaves, he has a feeling he's going to take his ID, and he's going to take enough money for bail. Mm. And he comes out, and the officers say, "Are you packing?" And he says, "Are you kidding me? I'm going with you to the police station, and you're asking me if I'm packing? No, I'm not packing." They take him in the police car to the jail. They book him, do a mugshot, and they literally put him in the jail cell while they're processing everything. He then gets released when they process the bail. He becomes the first pastor in America to be arrested for holding church service. And this goes all the way back to the very last Sunday and Monday in March 2020.
And of course, you know, Pastor Rodney and the sheriff had a great relationship before this happened, so you know there was probably some political pressure happening, too, behind the scenes.
I know for a fact that there was political pressure. There's no question about it, because they did have a good relationship. He actually had come to the church earlier in the year in January to be recognized. The church gave him an award for the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, recognizing their law enforcement. He was there to accept that award in January 2020, 2 weeks before this arrest. He was honorary deputy of the Hillsborough County Sheriff. He had that distinction 2 weeks before. Then this dramatic arrest. Now, this arrest press conference was filled with a lot of lies, a lot of lies. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, they got immediately 80 death threats, both on their voicemail, calls, and social media. The pastor had to shut down some of the social media because of all the death threats. A day and a half later, on April the 1st, because of this outcry, Governor Ron DeSantis issued an executive order declaring attendance at churches and houses of worship to be essential activity, and then he overrode all of the other local ordinances or orders to the contrary. So he freed up churches all across the state, no restrictions on them anymore.
And a couple other states followed suit, I think, after that happened.
A couple other states did follow suit of Florida. And so as a result of that horrible situation, the churches were freed in Florida, and that had a ripple effect in some other states. Texas and other places as well began to follow some of that lead. Now, the pastor could have gone right back on the next Sunday to full-blown in-person worship, but he decided not to, not because he couldn't, but because of the death threats, and he didn't want to have anybody put at risk. And so he kept the church physically closed for a period of several weeks, while they did daily online, not just Sunday, but daily online, as well as Sunday morning, Sunday evening online services. But then the story continues, because we were talking, and he said the Lord placed on his heart to reopen for in-person services on Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
On Pentecost.
And some other pastors had the same idea, too. So
lots of them
it was
around
from
the country.
Lord, yeah.
And so he opened on Pentecost, but it was outdoor services he wanted to do, because he wanted to allow people to have their own free will about what they're going to do with regards to social distancing. He would certainly recommend, but he didn't want to force anybody. And he wanted to do this outdoor revival. And so he was led to call it the Stand. And so they started on Pentecost.
They brought in all this AstroTurf covered over the parking lot. It was incredible.
It was amazing. They purchased this they changed the parking lot into a field.
Right. They have a stage up there and everything.
Unbelievable that they did this. And so I watched the first service online. It was a four-hour service. And that was 4 hours in the morning. Then they did a four-hour service in the evening. And they have not stopped till this day, until this broadcast right now. They're continuing every day with a four-hour revival service called The Stand. Now, they've also since moved indoors, and they have some of those revivals outside. So they have the worship service, for example, on Sunday. They'll have that indoors. But they continue this outdoor revival service continually since the last Sunday in May, which is Pentecost Sunday. That's unbelievable. Turning tragedy into triumph. One, having all the churches freed within a day and a half of this ugly arrest.
Right.
And also then starting an ongoing revival that is continuing to go daily, 4 hours every night, 7 days a week.
You know, and I think it's been such an encouragement, not only to the other pastors who opened on Pentecost, but have opened since then. You know, he's been a great example that he's not going to give in to the government. You know, the government doesn't own the church. It doesn't belong to Caesar. It belongs to the Lord, and he will be obedient to the Lord. He will not put his people in harm, ever. He loves the people. They serve that community with food and ministry, but he is committed to the Lord first and foremost.
Yeah, they have an amazing ministry. They have a tilapia fish farm, an organic vegetable and fruit farm inside the church, and they feed 900 to 1,000 families every single week, free food. They have an inner city ministry. They've been acknowledged by the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, by the way, for reducing crime in the inner cities because of their ministry that they have there. They do counseling. They do all kinds of support. They have a Bible college. This is a multifaceted ministry, and it is a worldwide ministry. So around the world, people are watching what's happening. Different other kinds of ongoing regular revivals like this have actually been birthed through The Stand, because they'll bring in certain people or pastors, evangelists, to come in and also preach, and they go back and they're inspired, and they're doing that in various places around the country.
Right.
So this is an amazing hand of God. Out of tragedy becomes this amazing revival. And that just is another affirmation to continue to stand for God and what is right. We are privileged to be able to work with this pastor. We got the criminal charges dropped, and we're working with pastors all over the country. Stand with us as we stand with these shepherds that are standing for the Lord at these critical times. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.